Thank you for that. Good morning, or good afternoon as it is now. We're going to start by reading God's word, and we're thankful for his presence. There is a real calm and peace, isn't there, about it this morning. We're going to look at 2 Kings 4, verses 8 through to 36. One day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there, who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he passed by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, "I know that this is a man who comes our way, is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a table, a bed, a chair, and a lamp for him. Then when he comes, he can stay." One day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her, and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, "Tell her, 'You've gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or commander of the army?'" And she replied, I have a home among my own people." "What can be done for her?" Elisha asked. Gehazi said, "She has no son, and her husband is old." Then Elisha said, "Call her." So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. "About this time next year," Elisha said, "you will hold a son in your arms." "No, my lord," she objected. "Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant." But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. He said to his father, "My head, my head." He told a servant, "Carry him to his mother." After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. She called her husband and said, "Please send me one of your servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return." "Why go to him today?" he asked. "It's not the new moon or the Sabbath." "That's all right," she said. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Lead on. Don't slow down for me unless I tell you." So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, 'Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right?'" "Everything is all right," she said. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She is in bitter distress. But the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why. Did I ask you for a son, my Lord?" she said. "Didn't I tell you, don't raise my hopes?" Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tuck your cloak into your belt, take my staff in your hand and run. Don't greet anyone you meet, and if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face." But the child's mother said, "As surely as the Lord lives and you live, I will not leave you." So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, "The boy has not awakened." When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, he shut the door on the two of them and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay on the bat on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out on him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room, and then got onto the bed and stretched out on him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite," and he did. When she came, he said, "Take your son." She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went out. Amen. Amen. It's one of those stories that's in there that's got a lot in it, isn't it? And I don't know that I've heard a sermon preached on this. We may have, but my memory's not great. But there are so many miracles that Elisha has done. And I like the stories of Elijah and Elisha. It's like, you know, you've got the teacher and the mentor and the, you know, the trainee, the person that's coming up behind, you know, with a baton, passing it on for ministry. Elisha learned a lot from being with Elijah. He was there by his side all the time, right up until the last moments when he was taken up into heaven, when he left the earth. Because we know that Elijah didn't die. We know that, don't we? He was taken up in the clouds. Elisha was teachable, and he wanted to follow Elijah, and he asked for a double portion of whatever Elijah had because he wanted so much to be the person of God that God wanted him to be and to be a blessing to other people. And he had God's power in him to work these miracles. Now, Elisha and Elisha were a bit of a duo. And Elijah went before and prepared the ground on certain things. And then Elisha came up behind once Elijah had gone, and they did different ministries. Elijah was one of those that would confront people when they were worshipping idols. He wanted to clear that and get that out of the way because he wanted an atmosphere where people could freely worship and worship the one true God. Elisha then progressed to demonstrate God's really powerful presence and compassion for people, his caring nature, and people came to Elisha for help. Elisha spent less time in conflict with evil and more time being compassionate with the care of the people. As you look through 2 Kings and look at Elisha's ministry, there are 18 encounters between Elisha and needy people. He had a ministry that lasted 50 years plus. He was a man of God of great integrity, and he didn't enrich himself at others' expense. He mastered and ministered many miracles to those in need. Elisha was a miracle worker and a faith stirrer. Reading today in Elisha, of Elisha's miracles, we can see that he was a conduit. He was a vehicle that God used to stir the faith of the woman of Shunem. So what do we know about the woman of Shunem? Well, we don't know her name, do we? She is nameless. We see that that Shunem was one of the cities that was linked to the tribes. You know the 12 tribes of Israel? And she was linked to the tribe of Issachar. So she was probably from that tribe. He says in 2 Kings 4:8, we are informed from Scripture that she was a well-to-do woman. And what does that mean? What does well-to-do mean? Some translations call her a great woman. The Hebrew word used, gadoli, which means great in any sense. So she could be nobler, she could be wealthy, she could be older. The woman's name is not recorded, but I don't think we need to know the lady's name. However, the detail of her character is noted. It shines through along with her arising and stirred faith linked to her connection of Elisha. And we know Elisha was a prophet. Was he a minor prophet or a major prophet? He was a major prophet, wasn't he? Absolutely. She realized and recognized that Elisha was a man of God. He visited Shunem often, and the woman persuaded Elisha to eat and meet with her and her husband and insisted that whenever he visited, he was to go and enjoy their hospitality. Offering hospitality was the cultural norm of the day. It didn't require the syncing of diaries to be able to meet together. Unlike today, you have to plan weeks, sometimes months in advance to get together with your friends to have dinner or meet up, don't you? I fondly remember in Yorkshire, bearing in mind I am on missionary service, that's what I believe God has got me here doing in Essex. We have a drop-in culture in Yorkshire. You just drop in, the back doors are open, and you just go through the back door, and someone's usually in and you have a cup of tea. So it was quite a culture shock 23 years ago to come to Essex and find that the hospitality culture was driven by appointment. In Yorkshire, people drop in, and if you're there, you're there, and if you're not, you're not. They don't often ring ahead, they just turn up. This was the same in Shunem. People passed by, dropped in as and when. I would encourage you maybe in the next week to just try and drop in and pass by, see if people are in. The Shunammite woman, seeing a need that she could support, wanted to go further than just offering a meal. She wanted to offer more than that. She saw a need and she said to her husband, how about we build a room, we have an extension. And in the extension, we'll make sure there's a bed, there's a lamp, there's a table, there's a chair. There are other essential things to make sure that when Elisha comes, he has a comfortable place to stay. And it's his room, no one else's, just his. It has its own doorway, so he doesn't have to bother us when he's coming in and out. The woman couldn't wait to give this generous and kind gesture of the room to Elisha. Elisha often travelled with a personal assistant, Gehazi, and he was likely to have stayed as well. Now, she did this out of the goodness of her heart, her kindness and her generosity, not for any self-motivation or any motives. She saw a need and stepped into that. What did we do? And I know that Stu is here, so he might need to close his ears. What did we last do to support our minister, our pastor? What did we do to support our elders and their families? Are our eyes open to seeing the needs that we may be able to support? Over time, we can see a deepening relationship of friendship, trust, and a stirring of the Shunammite woman's faith. Every time Elisha visited and was about God's work and ministry, there would be a conversation and prayer and food, I'm sure. Elisha was blessed and grateful for the room and for the woman's husband for going above and beyond in providing that place and space. He wanted to give something back in return. One time when he was residing in the room, he said to his servant, Elisha, he said to his servant Gehazi, go and ask the woman if there's anything we can give to her, anything that we can do for her. Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? You see, Elisha was very well respected and he was highly thought of in his ministry and compassionate service. He was a godly man who takes much pleasure in serving others as in raising himself. The woman's reply was a little bit odd because she said, I have a home among my people. Bit weird, don't you think? What can I do for you? I have a home among my people. If we unpack this a little bit, it means that the Shunammite woman was content. She didn't need anything and she had no lack. She lived within her community, her culture. She wasn't displaced. She wasn't a refugee. She was content. She was thankful. Life was good. After further thought and no doubt prayer, Elisha asked his servant what could be done for her. And Gehazi recognized there was no children in the house. There was no son. And we know in scripture it says that her husband was older. Now, from this information, we can understand that at some point, like all of us, the husband is going to die, right? We're all going to die. There is no children. There is no son. And in the culture of the day, everything went to the firstborn son, and they continued on with the family responsibilities. There was no immediate family. So Elisha thought, get that woman up here, and I want to put this to her. Now, it wasn't that the Shunammite woman didn't want a baby. It was a dream so big that she didn't or couldn't put it into words. And she'd got used to being content with her lot. So she didn't want to be complaining about it. She just knew this is what it was and that was how it was going to be. There was an innate, deep-rooted cultural context in historic world of the ancient Bible that childless women were treated differently. They were sometimes traumatized and treated unfairly. It was almost like a life with no son or no children was incomplete. But the Shunammite woman didn't complain, like I said, and she appears content. So Elisha comes in, miracle number one for this Shunammite woman and her husband. The Shunammite woman actually objected to Elisha's statement and promise. She didn't want to be teased about it. And her response, probably understandably after years of being barren, knew that the dream was unfulfilled. And she said in 2 Kings 4:16, "No, my Lord, O man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that." Can you imagine the woman's thoughts and feelings when she became pregnant and when she gave birth and had a son in her arms? The joy and elation and something far more life-changing and transforming than her own child, her faith in God was stirred and strengthened. Her faith and trust were in Elisha as a man of God and the God who gave the woman of Shunem her son. The woman's own faith in God had increased. It had been stirred. And she came to believe in God through Elisha. Elisha's prophecy was fulfilled and everything was great. The boy was growing up, being what little boys are. And then he became unwell. The Bible tells us that young boy grew and he went out to work with his dad. You know, dads take their children to work for a day. It happens even today. They go in the workplace, they do 2-week placement. This little boy went with his dad to work. His dad was working and looking after the reapers in the field that they owned. And I would imagine it was very, very hot, as it usually is in the countries in the Middle East. And the little boy had a headache. He said, "I've got a pain in my head. He was probably about 7 or 8 years of old, as some of the commentaries share that with us. Now, most of us know, don't we? We know our British summer isn't great. But when we do have the sun, we have to take care in the sun. You wear a sun hat, you put on sunscreen, you make sure you drink lots of water, you avoid the sun between 11 and 3, unless you like the sun. but you have to be careful. So we know that the heat particularly affects young children and those that are more vulnerable. So this little boy is 7 or 8. He's probably been in the fields with his dad all day. He's probably had so much fun he's forgot to drink. He hasn't worn a hat. He's exhausted. He's got heat stroke. So what do we know about him? We know that he died on his mum's lap. He went home to be with his mum. Most children, when they're sick, generally go to mum, don't they? Generally. Unless dad is the primary caretaker, of course. So what happened next? The boy dies on the mum's lap. This Shunammite woman is a woman, I tell you. I want to emulate this woman. She takes the boy, she places him into the room that she built for Elijah on his bed. And it reminds me of the woman seeking after Jesus who had the blood disorder and wanted just to touch his cloak and be healed. This woman puts her son on Elisha, the man of God's bed. She closes the door, she makes a plan in her head, she needs to go to Elisha. She requests one of the workers from her husband and a donkey. And she wants to go straight away. The husband says, "Why?" The woman says, "It's all right." She didn't give him a reason. She didn't tell him that her son was dead. She just said, "I need a donkey. I need a worker. And it's all right. Pretty much, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Just do it." So a message of, "Don't worry yourself, darling. It's all fine." At no point did she share her son had died. She traveled 20 miles to Mount Carmel. Elisha in the distance saw her coming. He sent out Gehazi to meet her, inquiring if all was okay with herself, with her husband, with a child. Her son. Again, her reply was extraordinary. Maybe she didn't want to waste time by talking, small talk, with anybody else other than Elisha. But again, her reply was, "Everything is all right." Now, it's extraordinary, don't you think? Because as a mother who had just had their son die in her arms, there would be a whole range of thoughts and emotions flowing through the mind. For this woman, there were no thoughts of burial, no thoughts of arranging plans for funerals. This woman of faith needed to see Elisha. She needed to hear from God himself on the matter of her son's life. The Shunammite woman strides out confidently with the sole purpose of seeing Elisha, the great man of God. Now, we have men here, and there will be people, men online. There will be husbands, there will be sons, there will be daughters. Have you seen your own mother or your own wife with one thing on their mind? Yeah? And lo and behold, if you start interfering or trying to change their mind. I remember when I was little, and yes, I can hear laughter, my nan wanted to clean the house top to bottom, usually once a week, usually on a Saturday. I would get out of the way, because if I was in the way, I'd be cleaned, rinsed, hung out to dry, polished, dusted, the whole works. If I was in the way, it was a hindrance. This woman, this Shumanite woman, was not going to talk to anybody but the man of God. She had one thing on her mind. She reached Elisha, she fell at his feet, she grasped his feet as a sign of deep reverence. She let her emotions surface, probably for the first time, in deep distress. Gehazi came to move her out of the way, and Elisha said, "Stop, leave her alone. She's in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden the reason from me. He hasn't told me why." The mother then speaks, and I guess she's going to speak with so much power and emotion, frustration, indignation at what's happened. And in verse 28, she said, "Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? Didn't I tell you, don't raise my hopes?" Elisha, seeing the woman in deep distress, looks on her with compassion, straight into action, tells Gehazi, "Here's my staff. Go, run, do not stop for no one. Place this on the boy's face." Now, very rarely, when you look in 2 Kings and you look at Elisha's ministry, very rarely does he do a miracle, minister a miracle directly himself. If you look at the woman with the oil, you know where the oil multiplies? The woman is pouring the oil, not Elisha. He tells her to pour the oil. She just keeps pouring and pouring and pouring until all the vessels are fulfilled. Further on, when there's the cooking pot to feed a lot of people and there is something in the pot, he doesn't put something in the pot. He tells someone else to put something in the pot. So this woman's not having any of it. "I want you and only you to come with me." So Gehazi goes on ahead, and then they've got the woman and Elisha following through. This woman's faith, I tell you, it was like Abraham's faith. You know when he needed to go and sacrifice, make a sacrifice, and he was told, God told him to take Isaac, his own son, and he was going to be the sacrifice. And Abraham went up, and he got to the bottom of the mountain where he needed to go up, and he said to his men, "You stay here, me and Isaac, we're going to go up the mountain, and then we will come back to you." Meaning that Abraham trusted God to provide a sacrifice, come what may, and all would be well. Sometimes things can look absolutely impossible, but bold faith sees with spiritual eyes, remembering that nothing is impossible with God. This Shunammite woman and mother had strong faith to believe that her son would be raised to life. She likely recalled the miracle of Elijah raising the widow of Zarephath's son. She knew that Elisha was a powerful man of God too. She pushed through her fear and reached out to the one person who she knew could give her what she wanted, and that was her son alive. The woman did not give in to fear. She showed no sign of panic, and her faith had been strengthened and arose. She started living out the faith in God that she held fast to. Knowing God wouldn't let her down and that all things would be well. Now, in spite of what could be seen in human eyes, her son's dead, for goodness sake, she had her kingdom eyes on. She had her eyes on God, and in her soul she knew all would be well. A bit like, you know, Horatio Spafford, and we sing the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." He'd lost his daughters on a trip on the sea when the vessel went down, and his wife and him remained. But yet, out of that experience, he wrote that hymn that we all know. But not just the hymn, it was right in his soul, it was well. This woman is saying, this has happened, but I am trusting you, and it is well with my soul. Everything was all right because she knew God for herself. One clear step she took in faith was to speak what she wanted God to do. She was speaking words of life and hope into being. Elisha, the miracle worker, gets to work. He goes with the woman because she's not going to leave him. She's clinging to his feet and she is not letting go. He knows that the staff has not done what he had hoped to do. So Elisha goes to the room, he closes the door behind him, and there's just him and the little boy. He prayed. He lay over the boy, hands to hands, mouth to mouth, nose to nose, eyes to eyes. The boy's body temperature warmed, but he was not conscious. Elisha paced back and forth. I don't know if you're a pacer, but if I'm thinking, we've got a rug in our lounge and I pace it up and down and I go, used to have squares, and I used to go up and down the squares, but I pace. Elisha was pacing and praying at the same time. He again laid on the boy, mouth to mouth, nose to nose, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. And at this point, the boy sneezed and roused. He said to Gehazi, his personal assistant, go get the mum. The mum comes to the doorway. Again, she falls at Elisha's feet and bowed to the ground in reverence, thanksgiving for her son's life, confession of her faith in God and the faith of the man of God. I recall seeing not too long ago, and you may have seen it as well if you are at any form of social media, there was news about the birth of a baby, a newborn baby, and the baby was born not breathing. The baby was left with the mum and the dad, and the mum and dad just wanted no one else in the room. They lay together with the baby, skin to skin, for quite a long time, more than an hour. As they were there, they were Christians, they were praying. And not too long, well, I would say not too long, but it was a period of time, it wasn't instant, the baby began to show signs of life. The medical team re-entered the room and were astonished, utterly astonished, that this baby, this newborn baby, born without breath, was breathing and alive. There was no medical explanation for the transformation of the infant, other than this newborn is alive and well and has lungs because they're crying. Very much alive. Miracles can happen instantly or by some degrees. The resuscitation of the Shunammite woman's boy happened by degrees because he had to go back. It's a bit like when Jesus was healing the blind man, can you remember? He did the mud, spit on the mud, put it on his eyes. He said, what can you see? I'm not really sure. It's like trees walking around. And then he did it again. And then he could see clearly. Sometimes Jesus, his father, choose to do things by degrees. We don't know why, but we know that this Shunammite woman had great trust and faith in the man of God and God himself. Oftentimes when we're at our weakest, physically, emotionally, mentally, God will cause our faith to arise. We can't explain it, but it's like the Holy Spirit is ministering to us and causing our faith to arise. Our belief and trust in God is to be exercised. We cannot manipulate God. That's not what we're talking about here. But we can make space and room for him to work. The woman left Elisha and the boy alone, making space for God to work in that situation and to move in that situation. When we experience difficulties and challenges, and we all will at some point in life, it's easy to feel really downtrodden and despairing and discouraged because we're human, aren't we, and we have those emotions. And in grief, we are all over the place. The faith of the Shunammite woman is to act as an encouragement for us, to stir our faith. She trusted and spoke life into being in her situation. We can speak life and hope into the most direst of situations for people we know, into our own situations. She refused to accept the situation, knowing God had a plan for her son. Some of the Jewish literature suggests that her son went on and was Habakkuk, the prophet. The Shunammite woman reminds us that those situations can be really, really difficult. It doesn't mean that they're impossible. And the story evidences that God can do all things. I'm here today because God healed me from a death experience instantly 4 years ago. And he is also healing me by degrees. Some situations are written off, but God has a plan. We don't fully understand it, and we don't understand why some people are healed and some people are not healed, because we have a human brain. We do not have the massive, you know, thinking that God has, so we don't understand it. But what we do know is that God wants the very best for all of us, and that he wants us to be about his business like Elisha was. Miracles don't just happen in the Old Testament and the New Testament. They happen today. The Shunammite woman bowed down in reverence a few times at the feet of Elisha, acknowledging the man of God and the power of God in him. And there are times in our lives when we just need to bow before God and cling to his feet in reverence, just by being in his presence. We bring our broken dreams, our hearts, our fears, and the Holy Spirit moves us and draws us closer to God. See, when we bow down in reverence to God, we acknowledge that he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the creator, he's the preserver, he's the sustainer and governor of all. He is concerned about the minutiae of our human frame. So although we're so, so tiny in the great grand universe, he is concerned about every minutiae of our lives. He is Lord in each and every one of us who believe in him. We know he's the Lord Almighty. See, he is Lord in this place. And you say, well, yes, it's a church. But we are the church. The people are the church. He is Lord in this place. He is Lord in our lives. He is Lord in this church family, in our community, in our homes, and in the world. He is everything that we need. Everything and anything is found in him. His Holy Spirit comes to us to minister to each and every one of us. We're never alone, and we never have to face anything on our own. We're interceding for people in America who've been diagnosed with leukemia. We are interceding for people who are not well in our congregation. There are many in our workplaces and spaces, or wherever you find you are most of the time, that need to see your faith like the Shunammite woman saw the faith in Elisha. Because it may cause their faith to arise. There may be something that they see that they want, and you're the person. God's put you in the gap, and you're the one that's going to stir their faith. Perhaps for you this morning, your faith is being called to arise. Maybe your trust is being caused and stirred to deepen. Maybe God has got something far greater for you than what you've got right now. God loves you and wants the best for you. And he wants to minister to you and me and everyone online and in our communities, our families, our workspaces. He wants us to be at his feet. He wants us just to take hold of them. And you might think, like the Shunammite, everything's well. Amen. But he wants to give you more than everything is well. He wants to give you more and more. May we, like the Shunammite and Elisha and Horatius Spafford, say, it is well with my soul. As the worship team come up, we have an opportunity, just where you are at, just to cling to Jesus' feet, just to be in his presence. There is so much noise in the world. It's so good just to settle, to be at peace and grasp hold of him. If there are any dreams that are broken, any hearts that are broken, any people that you're interceding for, all this stuff, yourself, your home situation, our church, what is going to happen? God is saying, come to me, bow down, cling onto my feet, and let me minister the miracle of grace to you. Let's share in prayer, and then we'll allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us as we sing together.